When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Kevin and Bean, janky things are gonna happen. Put something up outside my window. Put something up behind the trees. So listen to Kevin and Bean and everything that we can stream, and it's put something up outside my window pane.
Edwin from La Mirada here.
Are you on Sazira?
Boingo Boingo?
Eddie!
This is Ghosty!
Oh, Ghosty.
Ding, ding, ding. That's right.
Jesus Christ.
It's Jason Bourne.
What the hell?
I bought a Subaru! And I got
bags! Oh, you got bags, too.
Oh, my God. Hun, you are perfect.
Hell yeah! This is Lindsay from my car.
Now what?
What's wrong with our
Take two. The great experiment was a huge success.
What? Was blah. Okay.
Oh, it was so naughty.
For fuck's sake. I will end you. I was going to say, quitters never give up. It is time to wrap this up.
Why did I write it this way? This is wrong.
We're keeping it.
We're starting from the top. 3, 2, 1, go.
Put something up outside my window. Put something up behind the trees. So listen to Kevin and me and all the things that we can stream. And it's put something up outside my window.
Because I said quitters never give up, and he said, that's all they do.
All right, yeah.
Nice.
Hey, Christopher.
Because we're going into Rocktober.
Yeah.
That's
we need our own instrument.
Octoberation or something. It's still September.
We need to create a faux Melfon.
We can.
Oh,
yeah.
Melfon. Oh, my God. That's scary.
So this is Quitters Never Give Up, episode 35. Shit,
wow.
Going back in time. As we said, it is Rocktober. Yeah. All right, let's move on to the podcast roundup.
Nailed it.
Ow, 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 ow.
You get it. When you want her to promote your podcast, we got it.
Say hello to happy goodbye to the blue
janky podcast.
All right, welcome to the podcast roundup. We'll start off with Janky Town, episode 58. This one featured Jankster Gabor. As a Patreon subscriber, he was selected to sit in on the show. Omar had this question to ask of Gabor.
I want to get to know all of our listeners, and obviously you're probably a Kevin and Bean fan, probably a huge Kevin and Bean fan. How did the love of Kevin and Bean and, you know, probably the B team and now Janky Town, how did that all... I know that's going to be a long, that's like a pretty hard to answer, but try, you know, the best as you can.
So that reminded me of our interviews and especially all the questions I asked.
Yeah, they're dogging on us there. How did you start listening to Kevin and Bean? I thought for sure it was our show at first.
Yeah.
We're going to have to do a crossover episode with Janky Town.
We will. Yeah, we have to.
Yeah.
We'd love to, Janky Town, if you're listening. Superbooker Christopher is going to call you guys. He's going to make it happen.
All right, this episode was titled Beer Mug Had a Bad Day, and yeah, Beer Mug was extra salty, extra crispy. It almost felt a little weird with Gabor sitting in, but to Gabor's credit, he just rolled with it. Let's get into some Mugs clips. So the podcast was going on, and Mugs was late, and so Mugs jumps in with this.
So I'm really glad before you mock all these people taking it.
Wait.
What's that?
Who's that?
I'm really glad I'm late to this podcast.
Oh man,
this is
impeccable timing, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Dave talking about horse cocks and your tiny cock. Why do I want to be here?
Oh.
Does ivermectin help for sore throats? Because that's what I have right now. I'm just going to complain the whole entire podcast.
No, ivermectin doesn't help with the throat, but my pee-pee does. So let me
see. Once again.
Mugs?
This is just immature behavior.
So yeah. Beer Mug joins and basically doesn't want to be there, but rightly give him shit for it. And then there's one part where the podcast was interrupted and Beer Mug flipped out.
Every time when I've got like a function with the kids, so it's always tough.
There's the phone again. God dang it. It's just like I try to record a podcast, the phone rings. Mama Muggs is probably going to walk in 5 minutes.
I hope so.
Nate, did you eat your dinner? Meatloaf!
Yeah.
Get the phone!
All right, well.
Yeah, everybody was going to let that call just, you know, that sound pass. It was really, really faint in the background, but Muggs going to let it go. The reason why Muggs was upset was basically, well, they gave a few reasons, but it all started at K-Rock in the morning. And Omar and Muggs, they go through this explanation. You guys have to hear it because it's a really long segment of the show, and I couldn't bring all of it. Dave and Gabor described it best when they said this.
Hey, Gabor, have you ever done Xanax and Adderall at the same time?
I was gonna comment here that Omar, you're like the Viagra for this story because you really reinvigorated Muggos to finish off.
Yeah, right. So. Thank you. That's what I was trying to do.
Thank you.
I was saying, that's what it feels like right now. We got like two entities fighting for control. So
Muggs.
Woo.
Yeah, it's just a really weird story, but it's got a lot of, you know, inside baseball on K-Rock in the morning and everything that they did. So I'm going to play a couple of clips of it to try and give you the gist of it. But before I start, you gotta understand this about Beer Mug.
What I was going to say was, sorry, I'm high, first of all. I had to get high before this.
What else is new, dude?
So yeah, Beer Mug's high. So when he starts telling the story and he starts talking about it, keep that in mind.
Okay, I'm gonna speed this up because you're taking forever. Dude.
God damn.
Okay. So
go
Muggs,
ahead, Omar.
So Muggs starts looking for engineer. No,
this
engineer.
Is a long form podcast, by the way. We're not on the air. So, but go ahead.
Listen. But okay. So Muggos is looking for an engineer, and the guy's name is Dave Dart. Okay, and this guy is one of these engineers.
Are we calling him out? We're really calling him out. I wasn't gonna say his name, Omar. Why do we have to call him out?
I'm not calling him out on anything because he's just doing what engineers do. He didn't do it, in my opinion, he didn't do anything wrong, Muggs. I don't know why you were... Muggs was unfairly upset at Dave Dart. So Muggs gets there, he's freaking out, and he's looking for Dave Dart. And Dave Dart's one of these engineers who is in no rush by any means. He's got that engineer brain, right? This guy's a smart guy, right? It's not like he's dumb. But he needs to take his time. He's not like us trying to do a live show. You know, time is of the essence for Muggs and I.
So it was more like, Dave, we got to get a show on in 4 stations. And I don't know. He's like, well, I'm sorry. I was like, sorry? What? Okay. Go find Michelle.
Why? It'll work.
So I go, okay. Yeah. So I'm yelling, Michelle!
He's yelling down the hall,
Michelle!
Dude. Just that loudly too. It was insane.
Literally, like I was stranded on a boat out in the middle of the ocean, trying to get Michelle's attention.
Everybody in that building heard that, dude. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Loud,
so I go
Except
over
Michelle.
To
Michelle.
So I go over to Michelle, I hear a faint. Yeah.
So the whole thing in the story is basically the engineering section was installing a new program at K-Rock, and Beer Mug flipped out, and Beer Mug thought they were going to blame it all on him, so he just started flipping out, making a big scene. It ended up where Dave Dart had to send an email to everybody to just be there early, but fucking Beer Mug just yelling down the hallway. I could just imagine that shit in K-Rock.
I guess he was being proactive, trying to blame someone else before they blamed him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think the thing was, like, nobody else even noticed it was a problem. And yeah, Beer Mug, it was a mountain. And he was just yelling at everybody.
He says he's just traumatized with the way the station operates. So I kind of can see that. But Beer Mug, just hearing him react to that phone call during a podcast in his living room, it just kind of seems like Beer Mug's a little unhinged on that.
A little bit. It's kind of like Beer Mug's rants. You know what I mean? Kind of like when Ralph would lose it as well. It's fun. Keeping the tradition alive. How is he?
Moving on, they call Keanu Reeves in the podcast, and that went well.
Yeah, let's call Keanu up and
wow, that's amazing.
Let's see if he's excited about it. Let's cool. See. All right, let's see. Hopefully, he picks up.
Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies. Oh, that's our hold music.
I think.
Let's go to the movies.
Oh, there he is.
Ourself a treat.
Hey, you reach my shell. Please leave a message.
At the tone.
Hey, Muggs.
Forward your message.
Hey, Muggs.
When you have finished your
you see,
wait, hold
you
on.
You see in the schedule where it says, hey, we're going to call. We're going
to. You know what's funny, Omar? Hold on, Omar. You know what's funny? I did read this.
Yeah, the problem arises because they're making a phone call and Beer Mug has horrible reception. So Gabor jumps in with a joke that is pretty funny here.
Was in a bad cell area.
No, for sure. Like, and he has a hard line, right?
Yeah, he has a hard line.
He has a hard line.
Oh my god!
Yeah, so.
Obviously, Dave Dart's fault.
Yeah,
nice, Gabor. Nice, Gabor.
They do a second take where they call Beer Mug's landline.
He's calling Keanu now. He'll pick up this time. Hey, that's weird. Oh, let's mute that.
I could have sworn I heard a phone. That's weird.
Don't mind that.
I just saw someone grab a phone, too.
Okay, come on now. Oh, here. What?
What? Oh, it's the Matrix.
We're going into the Matrix. The Matrix picked up. Oh, dude, it just sounds like a modem, though. It really does. All right, well, let's try it again. Oh, my God. What is happening here?
So, yeah, that second take went well. Here's take 3 and 4.
Gabor, what do you think? How do you think it's going so far, Gabor?
Oh, smooth operation.
Right. Wait, Gabor, do we continue with this bit or just
no. Hold on? Oh, come on. Now it's busy. What the shit?
Keep going.
All right, hold on. Now. We're committed to this bit now, dude. All right. God, Muggs is so stoned. He's probably talking to us right now because he's so stoned. Well, come on,
take
dude.
The red
you know the
pill,
payoff
man.
Isn't going to be worth it.
All right. Hold on. Here we go.
Look at him.
No, of course it's not. Oh, there he goes.
Hello?
Muggs, wake up. Is Neil there?
Success. Finally, they got through.
It was a long way to go for that.
Someone needs to tell them they're on a podcast and you really don't have to call. You could just kind of pretend. Never. I don't know. Moving on to Cup of Tea in the chat. Allie and Bean had another bonus episode where Allie and Bean went on a date.
I mean, I
were you talking about my boobs? You was know. That a comment on my boobs?
Waiter, check, please. Check.
I'm going to leave a Yelp review for this date. It didn't go well.
Well, not actually a date, but they asked each other first date questions from a list. So we're going to do a lightning round. I'm going to ask you guys all these questions. So, Edwin, which would you rather do? Dishes, mow the lawn, clean the bathroom, or vacuum?
I would say vacuum. Kind of easy. You just take the vacuum out, vacuum, you're done.
Lindsay, who would you select to be stranded with on a desert island?
Oh, God. I don't know. Did Ali say Bill Hader?
Yes.
I like that answer.
All right. Jen, how many pillows and what kind of pillows do you sleep with?
I have two pillows, and they're kind of more firm pillows.
All right. Edwin, which would you choose? To be made hotter, but you'd be made dumber? Or to be made smarter, but you'd be made uglier?
Hotter and dumber every day. I want to be Brad Pitt. I don't care how dumb I am.
Yeah.
Jen, favorite fast food?
Ooh, In-N-Out.
All right. Edwin, if you could join any previous music group, which would it be and why is it Devo?
Close. I would say the Go-Go's in their prime back in the 80s. I'd be the only male member of the Go-Go's. What could be better than that?
All right. And then to everybody, have you guys seen a black squirrel?
It was either Chipmunk this morning. It wasn't all black. And I think maybe that's the distinction.
Hey, wait, before we move on, Christopher, what group would you choose? You're a musician.
Yeah.
Past or present, who would you want to join?
Duke Ellington's band.
Oh, nice. Wow. Didn't expect that one.
Nice. Yeah.
That's well, way off the board.
Jazz was my stuff when I was playing
okay,
music.
Nice. Okay.
All right, moving on. We need to talk about Ripper the Duck, right, Edwin? Let's play this clip from Edwin.
I have a recording
okay.
of Ripper, and I'd like to play it for you, and I'd like you to see if you can guess what Ripper is saying.
Okay, here we go. Here's Ripper the Duck.
What
is it?
Close.
What is it?
No.
What is it?
Well, he's no parrot, I'll tell you that.
So yeah, that's Ripper the Talking Duck. Right
now, before they said what he said, I had no idea. So yeah. Any of you out there that, if you don't know the answer, can you tell what he's saying? Okay, good, because I could not get it. Mm-mm. So the next clip, they say what he's supposed to be saying.
Well, I know what he's saying.
I do.
He's saying...
I'm sorry?
He's... You bloody fool.
A bloody hammer?
You bloody fool.
You bloody fool.
Yes. And then he's going, you bloody fool.
No. All right.
Play it again.
All right, hold on.
You bloody fool.
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 Okay, but...
You bloody fool.
Why would he...
You bloody fool.
Why would...
So he says, you bloody fool.
I just got a kick out of that. I don't know why.
That's funny.
They said he did that because it's England, right? Where the duck is from, and his caretaker, owner, calls him that all the time. I don't know.
That was their guess, is that the guy went around the farm, you know, saying that, and the duck was copying him. Now, I think you got the third clip too, right? Play that one.
I got the third Ripper the Duck clip.
Thanks for the show. Love it. Bye, you bloody fools.
So that was a call I made, and Bean's got this thing now where he only takes the last second of my calls and plays them.
All right, lastly on the cup of tea to chat, probably one of the greatest moments with Ali I've ever heard. This is right up there with Kevin's, which state has the most Irish Americans, and it's Boston, two times in a row. This is right up there with that.
This is a question I certainly did not expect to get today.
Okay, can someone please explain, why is it that a tear, like something that comes out of your eye, and a tear, like when you are tearing paper, why is it that those two words are spelled the exact same but pronounced differently? That makes no sense, right? I'm not the only one tripping out on that.
Yes, you're the only one tripping out on that, because there are lots of words like that. And in the words of my friend Ali McKay, how high are you when you made that call, right?
She does know that there's even a word for that, right? They're homonyms.
No, I don't think that's what a homonym is. I think a homonym are words that sound the same that are spelled differently. She's talking about words that are spelled the same and sound different. Different thing. You follow me?
How high am I? I thought that they were homonyms.
Google that real quick. Words that are spelled the same and pronounced differently. There is a word for that, but it's not a word that you use very often, so it's not on my...
When words are spelled the same and sound the same but have different meanings, they are called homonyms.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's not what we're talking about here, though. We're talking about words that are spelled the same but pronounced differently. What's that called? That's what you need to look up.
Oh.
Are you not tracking with this conversation at all?
No! Words spelled the same, sound different.
Yes, here we go.
My bad. Hold on.
Okay. And they are called? And the name for that is?
Words that sound the same but are different in meaning or spelling.
Okay. I don't know what rabbit hole you're going down. I just asked you a simple question. All right, we'll table that for another time. We don't need to find out right now.
A word that sounds the same as another word, but has a different meaning and or spelling, like flower, F-L-O-W-E-R, and flower, F-L-O-U-R.
That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about tear and tear, which are words that are spelled the same, but pronounced differently, because they mean two different things. Allie, get it together.
A word that sounds the same as another word but is a different meaning and or spelling. That's what I'm saying. Like flower, or like flower that you see on the ground, flower, W-E-R. Oh, they're spelled differently.
spelled different. That's what. Oh my God.
Holy.
What is happening?
Am I having a stroke?
You are. I am already fast forwarding to the conversation.
Tell me what to type.
I'm fast forwarding to the conversation where they say your podcast almost was made a year. What happened? Then I'll say she's an idiot.
Differently, but right. Sound same?
I just looked it up. They're called homographs. That's what they're called. Words that are spelled the same but
homophone.
Have different.
Homophone.
Homographs is what they're called.
Homophone.
I've got homographs. In other words, words like
homograph, I don't want your
words like refuse and refuse, project and project, tear and tear. Those are the kind of words that we're talking about. And it says here that they're called homographs. So I'm not going to accept any more questions or discussion on this topic. I'm going to consider the matter closed.
Okay.
Are you happy to move on?
If you would have told me exactly what to type.
Yeah, it's my fault. You're right about that.
The problem is, was there a neighbor in the homograph zone?
Right. Okay. All right, Edwin has a Kimmel Piazza story.
So as a kid, growing up in Brooklyn, I was a Mets fan.
Okay.
We moved to Las Vegas. Now, my dad is a Dodgers fan, has been his whole life. They were in Brooklyn. Even when they moved to L.A., he stuck with them. Moved to Las Vegas in 1978, or 77, rather. There's no Mets games on television. There's no, you get the actual scores 2 days later in the newspaper.
Yeah, box scores in the newspaper. Tough.
So I start watching the Dodgers with my father and listening to Vince Scully, and I start rooting for the Dodgers. And for many years, I root for the Dodgers. And then the Dodgers let Steve Garvey go to the Padres. Now, I've been going to minor league games in Vegas, the Las Vegas Stars, for a couple of years now. And all these guys have gone up to play for the Padres. So I've seen these guys, Kevin McReynolds, who actually is in this documentary, you know, all these guys, Bip Roberts, all these players from the Padres. And I decided since Garvey went to the Padres, I was going to root for the Padres. And I did until I moved back to Los Angeles as a sportscaster and I was covering the Dodgers. And I, took a liking to a player named Mike Piazza. Perhaps you've heard of him. Why they sent him away. They sent him to the Marlins, Mets. Actually.
Yeah, you're actually a Marlins fan.
Angrily denounced them. and then Mike and I wound up with the Mets.
Yeah, that was on the Bill Simmons podcast, the BS Report. So I just thought it was kind of funny. That's Jimmy's old days as the sports guy. Remember, he had a bit where he just loved Mike Piazza. Then they traded Mike Piazza, and he got very angry. So that reminded me of the old days of Jimmy the sports guy. So I thought I'd bring that in.
Yeah, I like the way he tries to make it sound like he was a professional sportscaster.
Yeah, I know. He's like, I came to L.A. to cover sports. I'm like, well, you were Jimmy the sports guy. Yeah. You were eating bacon off the wall. Not exactly hard-hitting journalism.
Year-old bacon. All right, moving on to the Ralph Report. Eddie came up with a new phrase, a day, so go back and listen to that. Then they were talking about sex toys catching on fire, and we find out that Eddie is confused about what vibrators are used for.
Leave it in by the nightstand if you want to keep it freshly charged.
Right.
And then you remove it, you use it, and then you put it back into the charging station.
Also a deterrent for home robberies.
I don't understand that.
If someone's
at all.
Breaking in, you grab the vibrator. Someone's coming at you with a vibrator in the middle of the night, you're leaving that house.
No, I'm not.
If you're a robber,
I'm pouring myself a drink and I'm staying. I'm like, is this an invitation to a party? You come at me with a vibrator, it's getting used. That's all I'm telling you. I could never been less threatened in my life. Don't threaten me with a good time.
Yes, don't threaten me with a good time.
Well, in California, there's a 7-day waiting period to buy a vibrator, so.
Good.
But the story that crossed over between most of the podcast was the school board meeting that went completely off the rails thanks to one Texas mom. It is a pretty spectacular story. I'll let Ralph describe the story and give his take because I like his take the best.
This week, our citizen of the week is Cara Bell. Cara Bell is a mom in Texas who showed up at her local school board meeting. And you got to love the folks who show up at the school board meeting.
It's always gold. It's always gold.
Magical. So Cara Bell gets up to the podium and everyone was supposed to be talking about COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But she decided to zig while everyone else was zagging.
Smart.
She's going to stand out.
Smart.
Taking her opportunity to complain about a book she found out is in middle school where her kids go.
Uh-oh.
Apparently in the library. The book is called Out of Darkness. and is a very highly regarded young adult novel based on a true event in Texas that is about, it's an historical fiction about a relationship between a teenage Mexican-American girl and a teenage African-American boy in the 1930s in New London, Texas.
Okay.
Leading right up to the 1937 New London school explosion, which was a horrible event in Texas. So very well-regarded book, but it, apparently it is quite frank, and it talks in terms, the characters talk in terms the way teenagers do in that book.
Okay.
And so Cara Bell got her hand on the book.
Uh-oh.
And she read some of it.
Oh, no.
And she was none too pleased about what she found, Eddie. So I'm going to let her pick it up from here.
Please.
Here's Cara Bell reading from the book, again, Out of Darkness by Ashley Hope Perez, unhappy with what she found inside on many levels.
For the boys, pussy or the idea of pussy or the idea of pussy, a Mexican is a Mexican is a Mexican. Take her out back, we boys figured, then hand on the titties, put it in her coin box, put it in her cornhole, grab a hold of that braid, rub that calico. You can find that on page 39 of the book called Out of Darkness, which you can find at Hudson Bend Middle School and Bee Cave Middle School. All right, not gonna lie, I had to Google cornhole because I have the game in the back of my yard. But according to Wikipedia, cornhole is a sexualist slang vulgarism for anus. The term came into the use in the 1910s of the United States as verb form to cornhole, which came into usage in the 1930s, means to have anal sex. I do not want my children to learn about anal sex in middle school. I've never had anal sex. I don't want to have anal sex. I don't want my kids having anal sex. I want you to start focusing on education and not public health.
Wow. Wow.
She told everyone in that room more about her feelings about anal sex than
she
probably told her husband.
Yeah, basically she went off. And that's the, I guess, the serious side about the book and why the book was there. Here's Kevin and Sluggo talking about it.
I've never had sex.
Don't care.
Whoa,
TMI. Wait a minute. Hold up. What is happening? No one's asking if you had it or wanted.
That's a fair statement.
If I knew school board meetings were that great, I would attend all of them.
And then Bean and Allie tell us a little bit more about the Texas mom.
Guess who this lady is? Her name is Cara Bell in Austin, Texas. And you and I have spoken about her before, Allie. She was the lady who went into Nordstrom Rack that time and started tearing down all of the masks in the store and screaming about it and saying that she was a child of God and she didn't have to comply with the rules and on and on and on. She didn't have to listen to the police officers when they arrived. She was ultimately arrested for assaulting one of the employees. This was the lady who had her 50 minutes of fame earlier this year, throwing a huge tantrum over masks. And now that she's going to wish she was known as the mask lady instead of the woman who's never had anal sex lady, I think, right?
You know what she needs?
Yes,
right?
Yes,
some butt stuff. Just calm her down a little bit, right? Take it right up the poop shoe. You're going to be fine.
So yeah, that's Bean and Ellie's take. There's two things for this story. One, she does love butt stuff. And two, all the kids that didn't know what cornhole meant now know what cornhole means. Anyhow, the week that was.
Press the button.
And win.
Send me back into time.
One, two, three.
It's a new day.
So begin at the beginning.
Our feature presentation.
The week that was. 2012.
Okay, we got the week that was. This is September 20 to 24. I'm just going to go right into this opening. As a good friend of mine says, it needs no introduction.
And now,
next, the FBI in color.
The FBI! No!
Our feature presentation.
Aw, Nopey, come on. Why does Nopey have to rain on all my parades?
Yeah, that had it all. I sent in that clip, the FBI, and the Nopey clip, and the other one was Ed Wynn, so... It's like that opening was made for me. Ralph was reading off the top 10 movies of the weekend. This was the Monday show.
Takers, The American, Inception, The Other Guys, and Machete. Rounding out your top 10 at the box office.
Machete.
It's Machete.
I just like that one. That's another one of my clips. It was nonsensical. It was just goofy, and Bean saw fit to play it. So I like how it contrasts with the Deep Voice Machete. What was that guy's name?
Danny Trejo.
That's right. So a little bit different reading, that character that the other guy was doing. Now, the big news that week was Sharktopus was premiering. Actually, today is like the 11th anniversary of it. So Ralph was talking a little bit about that.
So to celebrate and to kick off Sharktopus Week, I would like to give away right now 5 highly collectible, very sought after, Damn You Sharktopus collectible pins that were being handed out at Comic-Con.
Nothing
this year.
Hotter at Comic-Con. Seriously, nothing hotter.
You can't buy those. You can't buy them. You can't find them. They're all gone.
So I've forgotten about that. They were Damn You Sharktopus pins that they were giving away at Comic-Con. Boy, what I wouldn't give to get a hold of one of those now.
Yeah, those got to be a big collector's item.
And we got to go on eBay. Maybe we can give those away as a prize for people.
Yeah, I want that prize.
That week, they had Roger Corman on to talk to Ralph again. Remember, he came on when they first pitched the idea of Ralph being on. So next week, they're going to talk about it more because it was the premiere. If you're in a bar bed, it was September 25th, 2010, that Sharktopus premiered. Now, they were giving away tickets for Epicenter 2010, which was a really cool festival. And one of the games they played was Celebrity Voices, named the Celebrity Impression. And listen to Bean. He actually does his Hulk Hogan. He doesn't try to wimp out on it. And he does a good job, I think.
Hulk Hogan, the Hulkster.
The Hulkster. Oh, the Hulkster.
Hey, brother, how you guys doing?
Doing well, Hulkster. Great, you going to read some lyrics for our caller?
I'm the Hulkster. Listen up.
Okay.
Late night, come home. Work sucks. I know. She left me roses by the stairs. Surprises. Let me know she cares, brother. Say it ain't so. I will not go. Turn the lights off. Carry me home.
It's All the Small Things by Blink-182.
Yeah!
Tickets to both days. You're going to have a great time at Epicenter 2010. Thanks for playing the Wheel of Celebrities.
Thank you.
So Bean sold out on that one. He really gave his all.
Yeah, that sounded like Hulk Hogan. If you had told me that was Bean, I wouldn't believe you.
Yeah, he did a good job. He can tell when he wants to. So I was just curious, Jen, can you do a Hulk Hogan?
This is Hulk Hogan, by the way.
LP, will you play our reindeer games here?
This is Hulk Hogan, by the way.
Well, let's go for the trifecta, Christopher.
This is Hulk Hogan, by the way.
That was good.
All right, Eddie, you're
in a Sharktopus button if I ever can ever find some. Now, I love this next clip. What happened was, at the time, Eddie Vedder had just gotten married. Ralph was doing a story in the Showbiz Beat. And at his table it was Eddie Vedder, Sean Penn, and Jack Johnson. And they're like, wow, that must have been like the most boring table ever. You know, those are all low energy guys. So the next day, they decided to make a skit out of it.
Mr. Vedder, congratulations. How are you, sir?
I'm doing okay, man. I'm doing all right. How are you?
We're fine. If you could speak up just a little bit, Eddie. We're having some trouble making it out.
Sure, man.
Okay.
Good morning.
Yeah, hi.
How are you guys?
What, okay. Are you at a train station? Where are you? What's going on, Eddie?
No, we're still partying hard, man. For my reception, you know?
From the reception this past weekend, you guys are still partying?
Oh, yeah. It's crazy, this party. We're really celebrating because I'm so excited about my marriage.
You sound thrilled.
You know how it goes, man.
Right. But what I'm saying is I picture you doing a lot of things. Partying is not one of them. You're not a lampshade on the head kind of guy, Eddie.
You know, you wouldn't believe how hard I'm partying here with all my friends.
What are you doing?
What am I doing?
Exactly.
Oh, you know, just thinking about how many children are dying for the use of blood diamonds in the Congo. What are you doing? Are you aware of the fact that the Earth's probably going to be rendered useless very soon because of human abuse, widespread pollution? Okay. Do you have running water where
yes.
you are?
Yes. Yeah,
there's a lot of children all over Africa who don't.
All right, Eddie, I'm not saying these aren't all important items, the things you have to think about, but isn't there a time to set them aside and just go, hey, it's my wedding reception, I'm just going to enjoy it?
Yeah, that's a good point, man. That's why I'm here with my good buddies, and we're really just blowing the roof off this place.
It sounds like it. Who's still there? If the reception was this weekend, I can't imagine there are many people left.
It's packed in here.
It sounds like it.
Jack Johnson's here. Good buddy of mine. Yeah, I had the wedding here in Hawaii, so, you know, he stopped by. And
okay.
You want to talk to Jack Johnson?
So he's still there.
Oh, he's there. Yeah, we'll talk to him. Absolutely, we will. Sure.
Hey, Jack. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Jack Johnson, Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, great to talk to you guys again.
It sounds like you're not exactly tearing the roof off the sucker either.
No, man, we're partying. And,
okay.
I'm really, I was rocking out for the crowd here.
Just you don't rock, time. you don't rock
I,
out.
I do rock out. Hit
you
it,
don't
hit
rock.
It.
I, okay, but that's about yeah. as rocking out as you get, though. That's really, not a that's
man,
not, that's not a party
people.
That goes. But that's not a party that stays on for 4 days.
People are going crazy when I play that.
Hey, Johnson, turn it down, man. This is a public place.
Sorry,
someone's going to call the cops.
I didn't mean to get out of control.
Someone's going
to
call the cops.
All right, I apologize. I'll take it down a notch, bro.
This does sound like the worst party ever. Why don't you guys just go home and go to sleep where you'd clearly rather be?
Worst party ever, man. You know who else is here?
Who?
No, who?
How about an A-lister, Sean Penn, man?
Oh, Academy Award-winning actor deal. Sean Penn. He's a big name, but not a party.
Smart guy, friend of mine. You guys want to talk Sean Penn?
Yeah, you know we do. Of course we do. Yeah.
Absolutely. The roof is on fire here, man. I'm telling you. Hey, Sean Penn.
What?
Mr. Penn, yeah. Kevin Amin Show here, sir. How are you?
I'm better than they are in Haiti. So are you.
Okay. Okay, but yes. But this, again, this isn't about solving the troubles of the world. This is just about letting loose and enjoying your friend and their marriage.
I am doing that. What are you doing?
Well, we're just congratulating Eddie. That's all we're trying to do.
All right.
Let's take five minutes
and think about people who don't have it as good as you do. Okay?
Okay, but what do you do for 4 days at a wedding reception?
Party.
Did you ever think about going comedy with it and doing it at Espicoli?
Man. Do you want to apologize to my friend Sean Penn for that stupid sophomore comment?
I was trying to talk to you
about Haiti. You know, hey, you guys want to talk to someone else, man?
Who else is there?
New England's Patriots head coach Bill Belichick is talking.
What are the chances? Was he invited?
He was, man. I'm a big Patriots fan. Hey, Belichick.
What?
Mr. Belichick, Kevin Amin Show here.
Yeah.
Did you just get there? You've been here the whole time since the wedding?
Whole time.
Wow. It's really going off, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Good party, huh?
Yeah.
What kinds of things are happening?
Cake.
Yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dancing?
Yeah.
Music?
Sure.
A lot of drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Did you bring a date, Bill? You didn't.
Are you lucky at the wedding?
Hold on, man. With the time change, Mr. Belichick, you've got to turn it down a little bit. They may not be ready for that type of energy back in Los Angeles. Hey, oh my God.
Wait.
What?
Harrison Ford's here.
Oh, come on.
Harrison, you want to say hello to your friends, Kevin and Bean, man?
Hi, Harrison Ford. How are you?
I'm great. I'm after party.
I'm sorry, I missed that last part. Say it again, please.
It's great to be here. Friend, you having a great time at the party.
You having a great time at the party. Okay. Yeah, and of course, you're a newlywed as well. You and Callista got married earlier this year as well, right?
Yeah, that's right.
What? I'm having... It's noisy where you are, Harrison. I can't quite make out what you're saying.
Yes, I am. I've been together for a long time.
And you're doing the Macarena on the dance floor?
Yeah.
You heard that?
I'm just guessing.
What did I tell you, man? The party won't stop. The penny drop when Eddie Vedder throws a party, man.
I guess we were wrong. Thanks for shedding some light on that for us, Ed.
Yeah, man.
So I just love how that came out of nowhere from a story, and they made a skit about it the very next day. That's Kevin and Bean at their best.
I love how they asked Sean Penn about doing it as Spicoli.
I know that was a great callback. Okay, this was fascinating. Like I said, one of the reasons I like to listen to old shows is just something comes up out of nothing. So one day Mike comes in and he's actually in a good mood for a change. Let's find out why.
I get nervous when Psycho Mike seems in a good mood. What's going on today, Lisa?
I know, Mike. What?
He seems very happy. Is there a new lady in his life?
No. It's all fake. I'm not really that happy. But
you don't normally fake it. I mean, I come in, I say, how are you? And you go, fine. And today you're like, I'm excellent.
Oh. I'm fantastic.
Thank you.
Well, there was
Did
a
you get
super...
some sleep?
No. No. Actually, I got very little. Maybe I'm just goofy from lack of sleep.
That
but
happens.
There was a super hot chick on Loveline last night, if that helped.
That could have been it.
Bianca Kylik from the show Rules of Engagement. And she...
is really attractive. She's really attractive, and it didn't bother me any that she seemed to hate me, but oh well. What are you going to do?
Well, so she's smart, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just good taste.
So how about that? So I thought that was pretty cool. So apparently Mike did not make a good first impression, but it ended up okay for him. They're still together to this day.
That sounds like he's trolling, and they've already started dating.
Yeah, we were just talking about them last week. They're still together. They're moving to Texas. So good for you, Mike. By the way, that's kind of an underrated show, Rules of Engagement, that she was on. I urge people to look it up. Okay, this came up again. What do we always say, or what do I always say? Who's Bean's favorite comedian? Bean. So let's see how Bean cracks himself up this time.
I have the real.
Oh, sweet Jesus in heaven.
The real. We're talking about Bruno Mars just the way you are. A lot of people maybe... A lot of people maybe haven't heard it, but here's what that sounds like.
You don't even hear the pug singing on that one. It's not even worth doing.
He doesn't care.
That's the dog singing Batman.
No, it isn't, because you don't hear the dog singing. That's what we've always told you on that stupid piece of tape you continue to play. See, that's funnier. Because that's a dog actually singing Batman. But you don't hear it with the other one.
Back to you, Ralph.
My head hurts.
I love that clip.
So does Bean. Any chance he gets. And he loves to laugh at that one. So I'm going to keep an ear open for that. I'm sure he's going to keep doing that. It does crack me up at the end how you can't even hear it through the music. But Bean still laughs. So good job, Bean. So anyway, that's the week that was September 20 to 24. Back to you, Steve.
What? We're going into the flashback that needs no introduction with Jen. Take it away, Jen.
All right, the hate has been there for a very long time.
And the mother effer who is responsible for...
Huh? What?
You know how much I hate the Garfield, right?
Yes.
Worst comic strip in the history of mankind. The guy who's right up there. This bastard. I hope this is his last birthday. That's what I'm telling you. Tom Wilson, who's created Ziggy. Ziggy. Oh, yeah. Ziggy. Freaking Ziggy. Ooh. Oh, I'm at the complaint department. F that cartoon. Worst. Ziggy. Ziggy. That's all I need to tell you.
Just Ziggy.
Ziggy. Not Tom Wilson is 77 years old today. Hate Ziggy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So this has been going on for a long time.
Long time. Yeah, very much so.
Ziggy's been unfunny since the 70s.
Right? And then so I looked at today's Ziggy cartoon. And there's a picture of like two bird feeder things that you can put money in for bird food for the birds. And there's a little bird up top and the little sign says feed the birds. And one of the bird food is 10 cents and one is deluxe bird food that's 50 cents. And Ziggy's putting it in the 10 cent one. And so the bird at top, it just says cheap out of the 50 cent. It's Ralph has been right all these years. All right, next.
Cheap.
Ralph is coming here to save this show, though. I think this show faltered a little bit out of the gate, but now he's going to come along and he's just going to give it that injection it needs.
No pressure.
No pressure there.
Yeah, really.
All right. Time for Ralph to save the show. Here we go.
Like one of those pitchers they bring in, right? Isn't that what happens in baseball?
Yes.
Bring a
pitcher
to save the game.
A closer.
Yeah.
Closer.
Yeah.
We're bringing you in, though, with the bases loaded and no outs.
Great.
So
thanks.
Good luck.
I got to throw the heat. And Manny Ramirez is at the plate. Before we get started,
yes.
can I just get this off my chest? I wasn't even going to bring it up, but here's the thing about me. I got kind of a pet peeve that every year at Christmas, I know it's hard for me to complain about something, but every year at Christmas, I get inundated with cards from people who insist on sending me pictures of their kids for Christmas.
Right.
And it comes in a little photograph Christmas card, and I'm like, okay, look, your kids are cute, I guess. They're your kids. I'm sure you adore them, whatever. For me, not so much of a thrill to get pictures of your kids at Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just seems to me to be, I don't know, it bugs because somehow they're trying to tell me that that's as important to me as it is to them. And like, I know it's your family and Christmas time and blah, 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 you know, whatever. But I get them and I suck it up and I suck it up and that's Christmas. Fine.
You know it's August, right?
I do know it's August.
Okay.
That's why I was surprised yesterday when I got in the mail
the Kevin Ryder Here Are My Kids Happy Summer card.
No.
Happy summer with photos of Kevin's kids playing in the pool. You've got to be effing kidding me. Now I got to suck it up in the summertime?
I forgot to take you off the list.
Not even for a holiday? It's not even a holiday. It's a happy summer card. Now look more at my kids.
I think my wife got
tired. What's wrong with you?
I think my wife got tired of sending them out at Christmas time, so she's decided to do it in the
summer.
So now I got to
deal with it in the summertime.
All right, hang on. Let me make a note. Send extra cards.
The only respite is the rest of the year, especially summer where you don't have to put up with that.
And extra card to Ralph.
Happy summer. Now look more at my kids.
Happy summer isn't even a thing, by the way. It's not even like hanging on Happy Labor Day or
even
happy
Hallmark
4th of July.
Doesn't have cards for that.
There's That's no true. Such thing as happy summer.
What are you doing?
Well, you know it's not me. You know it's my wife, but she
Don't you have any say what goes on in that household at all?
Well, most people aren't
Stop
as
it.
Most people aren't Stop as it. Annoyed by that as you are.
Or they don't say that they're as annoyed as I do.
It's possible.
They're not as vocal.
Well, no one's
about
vocal, let's be
happy
honest.
Happy summer here, my kids card. Happy
Ralph could be speaking summer. For the silent majority. That's true.
I could be.
Send one to Ralph each month.
And by the way, I don't think my parents have my new address yet. Somehow, Kevin's family got the new address and the happy summer card showed up bright and early
That's
on my doorstep.
Funny.
You're welcome.
Happy summer sounds like a bad translation of a clothing company from Chinese. Like the Chinese kids will wear like happy summer fun club.
I wear happy summer jeans. Yeah, it was.
So you're excited?
It was the highlight of my day.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Hey, they've got the Halloween card in production right now. You'll be getting that one soon.
Look, she's a witch. My daughter's cute.
See, now you know that I'm going to have to do that.
And every
just
time
for you,
you do,
just
we
for you.
Will talk All about right. it. Because it's just got to be stopped.
See, what's August? Oh, you just got that one today. Yesterday.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what anything is, apparently. I can just get a card from your family for any reason.
Happy September.
Happy living. Happy oxygen. Happy Earth is spinning day. Madness must be stopped.
I love it.
Did we ever play the Ralph's when he is ranting about the Christmas cards and stuff?
No, I don't think so.
We'll bring that one in coming up here shortly for the holidays. That's a funny one.
The funny thing is that the guy that that celebrates half Christmas and two-thirds Christmas doesn't believe that there's a happy summer.
Yeah, good point.
Also,
Evan's happy summer day card was way late. That was August already. That should have came in June.
Maybe, yeah. Forwarded.
Last one, guys. This one's a long one.
Ralph has joined us in the studio, and I saw the steam coming out of his ears before I actually saw Ralph's head enter the room. What's going on, Ralph? What's the problem here, dude?
Just BS. Just garbage.
We haven't done a Ralph's rant in quite some time, and I think it's time today to assault you with that.
Have you been calmer?
One man, one quest. He doesn't sleep until corruption and deceit is brought to the forefront. His crusade is to make right on all that is wrong in the world. A fighter for injustice, he will avenge us all. His name, Ralph Garman, and this is Ralph's Rant.
They're not closing down another strip club, are they, Ralph?
No. Thank God it's not that bad, but it's almost as bad. I spent the weekend in Las Vegas this past weekend, and wow.
Here's the thing. Vegas.
No, Vegas is the greatest city in the world, but the who they're letting in these days is really starting to ruin it. That's the problem. There really should be some sort of rule where if you have a belt buckle larger than your fist, you can't get in.
Yeah.
If you drive an RV, you have to park at State Line and just party there. You can't bring an RV into the city limits.
Problems with country music?
Well, as always, you know, that's not new. That's what this rant is about. But there's a tangential problem that I have to address. The thing is, there was a lot of country music fans in Vegas this weekend because Toby Keith was in concert.
Ooh, your favorite.
And you know he wants to stick his American boot up their foreign ass.
I hear that's true.
Yeah, I understand that.
And he's got a new song called it's Payday, I don't know. Let's
get drunk and be somebody.
Let's get drunk and be somebody.
Oh,
yeah, that's,
no. Yeah. Are you kidding?
Which, unfortunately, all of his fans take to heart.
Wait, it's Payday Friday, I think. It is. Let's get drunk and be somebody.
Yeah. So the Vegas was just infested with jackholes, with mullets and bad teeth and wispy mustaches. You know, you ever see that? The country F's who can't quite grow a mustache. So it's just squirting out like that 13, 14-year-old boy mustache on a 30-year-old man. Just like a jackhole.
Yeah.
And he's got the mullet. I swear, I F you not. there was a guy in the casino wearing a Hawaiian shirt, mm-hmm. tucked into his jeans with the belt buckle bigger than his head, but the sleeves of the Hawaiian shirt had been ripped off. And he was rocking a mullet, carrying a Coors. Just a quintessential poster boy for effing Southern country mother effers.
Wow, that's a look.
There's a lot of people who really, really want to pull off the fact that they're a cowboy. A lot of people that aren't.
Kevin, God bless you for leading me to my next point. Apparently, all these country fans also love these rock songs where rock stars pretend to be cowboys, where they try to draw some connection between themselves and the cowboys of the Old West. Because everywhere I turned, every jackhole who had a transistor radio or a portable radio or in the rooms, in the hallways, you hear it blasting out. I kept hearing songs over and over again, these goddamn rock songs where these people try to pretend that they're cowboys. And here's the breaking news, rock stars. You're not effing cowboys. You couldn't be further away from cowboys from the Old West. God damn it. Stop this. There's been a trend for 30 years of rock stars having to write their cowboy song. Oh, look at me. I'm just like a cowboy.
Yeah, they're
ahead. You're not a cowboy. It started, you know when it started? About 30 years ago with this band called Bad Company.
Right.
Bad Company was a bunch of limey, thin, pasty, limey, bad teeth having, long hair having rock guys. Came out of bands like Mott the Hoople and King Crimson and Free, and they had made this super group, and they called it Bad Company because they loved the movie Bad Company so much, which was actually about the Old West. And so their single Bad Company from the band Bad Company, from the album Bad Company, featured these lyrics. Now listen to this song, and I'll tell you what's wrong with it.
Six Gun Sound is our claim.
No, the six gun is not your claim to fame. It isn't.
I can hear them say, Bad Company.
Oh, it just gives an excuse for these mullets just to bob their heads and pump their fists in the air. Yeah, Bad Company. Shut up. These are skinny, effeminate British dudes who, if they fired a six gun, their arm would blow clean off their bodies with the recoil.
They're not cowboys?
They are not cowboys.
Wow.
Oh, they're not
I thought they lived in the Wild West.
They don't live in the Wild West.
I see.
They haven't dropped the sword and picked up the gun. They don't ride a horse. They're not bad company.
Yeah,
except
that's true.
Except maybe at a dinner party, they might be bad company. And then you got this freaking guy from Detroit, Michigan.
Go!
Yeah. Besides the horrible lyrics of Cowboy by Kid Rock, no one is further from being a cowboy. If Kid Rock ever met a genuine cowboy,
true.
A real cowboy is a guy who works with, I don't know, cows and horses on a ranch and has hands that are tougher than steel from putting in posts all day and from carrying ropes and doing work. He's not a long, stringy-haired guy who wears a funky fedora, goes on the Larry King show, and then sleeps on his tour bus. Go F yourself. You're not a cowboy. Stop singing about it. But the perpetrator, if there was a wanted poster, if he was a cowboy and there was a wanted poster up for this villain, for this guy who has instigated more of this crap than anybody else, it's goddamn John Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
With this freaking song. Yeah.
Sing it.
This gives an excuse for all these guys who have torn the sleeves off their flannel shirts and just swilling cores. I'm a cowboy too. No, you're not. You're white trash from Florida. That's all you are. And John Bon Jovi's from Metuchen, New Jersey.
He's riding a steel horse, though, Ralph.
See, don't you get it? My motorcycle's just like a horse. No, it's not. Nothing's ever been further from a horse than a motorcycle.
He's a cowboy. He says it in the song.
Oh, I carry a loaded six string on my back. See, I take six strings like six guns, like a six shooter. God damn you, Bon Jovi. God damn you right to hell.
You know, I've heard all these songs all throughout the last 30 years, and it never, I mean, I don't like any of them, but that last one was a huge hit.
And there's just, for some reason, they can't resist. Because they're on the road traveling in a tour bus that's air-conditioned, and they're banging groupies, and they're making millions of dollars per concert, they can't help but somehow draw the connection to the fact, wow, I'm just like a cowboy. I don't see where the compulsion comes from. Where do they have to say yes? Oh, look at my lifestyle is just like that from the Old West. How do they see that?
In Bon Jovi's defense, though, Ralph, if you'll permit me, we might not have a foreign policy in this country if it weren't for Wanted Dead or Alive. I mean, that's Texas boy George Bush's policy right there. He heard that song and said, that's how I'm going to roll.
He's more of a cowboy because he works on his ranch.
He does. He wears boots. Exactly. It has horses, right?
Than Bon Jovi is.
You're more of a cowboy than Bon Jovi is, Kevin. With your board shorts and your striped shirt and your platinum hair, you are more like an Old West cowboy than John Bon Jovi.
Yeah, he doesn't strike you as cowboy-ish.
I don't remember Jesse James ever buying part ownership in an arena football team.
True.
I don't remember Wyatt Earp ever going on stage at Madison Square Garden and playing a guitar.
Yeah. Yeah.
When he's on stage, he plays for keeps because he might not make it back. A rock star is really being shot down on stage all over America. Where's the danger for you, Bon Jovi?
It sounds like you're saying, stop it. Message I'm getting is stop it.
If you want to sing a song about another lifestyle that somehow you're comparing to being a rock star, why don't you make it being, I don't know, a CEO of a major corporation or something. I'm a CEO. I got a real easy life. I sit in a big chair and I write some checks. That should be what you're singing about. God damn it, stop it.
So he's not a cowboy?
Well, a little bit. He's a...
Love it.
Hey, it's a mad Ralph.
So good. And it was as he's talking about this, I'm like, that's kind of like my family. The big buckles, and they get the glittery shirts and thing. I mean, it's over the top.
I want to know if he said hi to Edwin when he saw him in Vegas with the sleeveless Hawaiian shirt. Edwin is sporting a Hawaiian shirt right now, which is kind of funny.
The Twin Peaks background. I'm loving sleeves. It.
Me and Will are still rocking that look.
Ralph is bringing it back, too.
Well, I don't think, in my personal opinion, I don't think Hawaiian shirts ever really go out of style. I think the classic blue and white one that Hawkeye would wear on MASH, those types and stuff, some of them get really ugly, don't get me wrong.
I'm thinking more Tom Selleck, look at the stash.
Yeah, Tom Selleck, the Tommy Bahama shirts, are those technically Hawaiian shirts or are those different?
Are we getting technical now?
I don't know.
This has been another stellar episode of Quitters Never Give Up. See ya.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye,
guys.